This is On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Celeste Headlee. Now, Emory University professor Deborah Lipstadt found herself at the center of a unique legal battle 16 years ago. A libel case pitted her against a Holocaust denier, and their trial quickly attracted international attention. Lipstadt wrote about it in her book, History on Trial. That's now been adapted into a new film called Denial. It stars Academy Award winner Rachel Weisz playing Lipstadt.
Deborah, I have to warn you that there's a reason why he's bringing the case in London.
I wondered about that.
Yes, to his advantage. Over here in America, if you're accused of defaming someone, then it's up to them to prove that what you said is untrue. In the UK, the reverse is true.
Wait, I have to prove what I said was true?
Correct.
Yes, but I'm the innocent party. A man accuses you of something and it's your job to prove he's wrong? It's against natural justice. In the U.S., there's a presumption of innocence.
Yeah, not in the U.K.
Denial opens in theaters on Friday, and Deborah Lipstadt, the real Deborah Lipstadt, joins us now to talk about her story that has now landed on the big screen. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. The man who accused you of libel is a guy named David Irving. Here he is in a BBC radio interview explaining why he went after you.
Lipstadt is part of an international conspiracy to silence me and destroy my career. And I could look up the slope and see this mudslide thundering down towards me and about to engulf me totally and wipe me out. And I decided the time had come to start hammering pegs into the landscape, as Deborah Lipstadt now knows. When people use their Jewish networking to disadvantage David Irving gets up and fights back.
And in the film, we first meet David Irving in a scene where you are giving a lecture. A person in the audience asks why in your writing you disparage Irving's work where he denies the Holocaust. And here is your response as portrayed in the film.
To be honest, I don't think I do denigrate him. Actually, I don't really think about him that much. I don't think he's important. Yes, sir, gentleman in the back.
Professor Lipstadt, let me reveal something to you, Professor. I am that David Irving about whom you have been so rude. Yes, I am he. And it puzzles me that you think yourself qualified to attack me, given that I have 30 years' experience in the archives. And my books have been published by some of the greatest publishing houses in the world. Viking Press, William Morrow, E.P. Dutton. I have to conclude that the reason you don't engage with people you disagree with is because you can't.
Now, Deborah Lipstadt, we're going to talk about all the very serious issues raised by your story about the nature of Holocaust denial, the nature of libel laws. But first, I think I just have to ask you the question that probably everyone and your mother has been asking you for a while now, which is, what was it like to see this very, very difficult part of your life portrayed by a Hollywood film?
It was an out-of-body experience. It was very strange. But it wasn't like I signed over the book and then sat down in the theater a couple of years later and saw the film.
Yeah.
I was very lucky. I was brought into the production of the film. David Hare, the screenwriter, who did a magnificent job with the screenplay and much of the film, the text of the film, comes from the actual transcripts of the trial, shared various drafts with me. It came to Atlanta, followed me around, saw me teach at Emory, talked to my students, talked to my colleagues. And then Rachel Weisz brought me into, at the very beginning, as soon as she started preparing for the role, I spent a couple of days with her at her home. She would call me before she did a certain scene. I'd often be on the set. So it wasn't a complete surprise yet. The first time I sat down to see it on a big screen with a test audience of about 500 people, it was very weird.
But did it put you back in the mindset of the time and provoke feelings of anxiety? Was there a little bit of PTSD there?
No, it didn't provoke feelings of anxiety because I know the ending. So, spoiler alert, I win. But it did. It was difficult, especially watching Timothy Spall's unbelievable recreation of David Irving. It reminded me of why this man is so contemptible. You pick up a bit of it in the clip you just played. He is a conspiracy theorist. He's a racist. He's an anti-Semite. And he lies, and then he believes what he says.
We're speaking to Emory University professor Deborah Lipstadt. She is the inspiration behind the film Denial that opens in theaters on Friday. It chronicles her experience when this Holocaust denier sued her for libel for basically saying everything she just said about him just now. Deborah, take us back to the beginning. Where does this particular strain of Holocaust denial come from? There must be some intellectual basis.
Well, I don't know if you could give, we can append to conspiracy theories an intellectual basis, because it's a very skewed vision of the world, whether it's a conspiracy theory about the Holocaust, whether it's a conspiracy theory about 9/11, about vaccines, about Sandy Hook, the town in Connecticut where those children were murdered, which now some conspiracy theorists say was all a setup, you know, to get gun control legislation and things like that. Conspiracy theorists have a very skewed view of the world. You know, the moon landing was in, I forget if it's Utah or Nevada or whatever, those kind of things. So I wouldn't give it an intellectual basis, but what I would say is that Holocaust denial is a form of anti-Semitism. It wants to deny that the Jews suffered, and it wants to claim that Jews who today talk about the Holocaust are doing this to get special privilege, to get sympathy of the world. It's not dissimilar to people who don't deny that slavery took place, but they'll tell you, oh, slavery really was not so bad. You know, the slaves had 3 square meals. They had a place to live. They could sit around the campfire at night and sing all those pretty songs. So let's not feel so bad. It's a recreation of what was, a rewriting of what was.
Now, David Irving sued you for libel. Libel means he's accusing you of having defamed him in writing. Libel's always written, right?
Right, correct.
Defamed him in writing, and what we mean by defamation is that you have said stuff about him that is discrediting, and this is the really important part, false. Right?
That's
correct. It's not defamation if I say stuff that's bad about you that's also true.
That's correct.
So the nature of this trial fundamentally came down to determining whether or not it really is true that the Holocaust happened, right?
Well, we try to stay away from that. The strategy of my magnificent legal team was we had to prove that what I said was right. And the way we did it, and that's why I originally called my book History on Trial, which has now been reissued as Denial, was to follow the footnotes. You know, we followed the footnotes back to their sources. So each time David Irving said, I can prove that, you know, there were no gas chambers, or I can prove that Hitler tried to stop the riots in November, the riots and pogroms and killings in November 1938, I have a document which proves it. We would follow that back to the original document. And not in most instances, and not in the preponderance of instances, but in every single instance where we went back to a source, where he wrote something about the Holocaust, we found an invention, a misstatement of fact, an inversion of dates, putting people at a meeting who weren't there. It's what our expert witness, Cambridge University professor Richard Evans, called a tissue of lies. And the judge agreed with that 100%.
Let's listen to another clip from the film Denial that is opening in theaters on Friday. This is the film about your real life experience. During the trial, you did not take the witness stand, which was a point of contention between you and your legal team. So here's a scene from the film in which Rachel Weisz, who's playing you, and actor Tom Wilkinson is playing your attorney, Richard Rampton.
Our strategy is to keep the focus on Irving and Irving alone. It's not a test of your credibility, it's a test of his.
You don't think I'm good enough?
No. I didn't say that at all. Everything you have to say, you've said in your book. Our task is to starve Irving, and putting you in a witness box would feed him. This case is happening to you, but it's not about you.
My guest is Emory University professor Deborah Lipstadt. A new movie called Denial chronicles her time in the middle of a libel trial between her and a Holocaust denier, and that was an actor playing her in the film that opens on Friday. Deborah, why did you ultimately decide not to present your own evidence in this case?
Well, it wasn't that I decided. I was told quite specifically by the lawyers that they were not going to call me. In British law...
You didn't have some choice about it?
I didn't have it. I kept saying, I want to go on. Look, at some point, you've got to trust the experts. It was hard for me. It's hard for me to trust anyone to take control of something about my life.
Well, also, you're a lawyer. I mean, doctors are the worst patients, right?
No, no, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a history professor. No,
oh,
no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The only thing I know about law is about being sued, you know, and being turned down for jury duty. I've been turned down 3 times, so I think I'm out. You know, they said, they made it very clear. It took me a long time to accept it because I was really afraid people would say I was a coward. But as Richard Rampton or Tom Wilkinson says in the clip you just played, it wasn't about me, and I had to keep sort of my eye on the prize, as we say, and that was on winning this case. And what they argued is you're being sued for what you wrote in your book. We have to prove that what you wrote in your book, i.e. that David Irving is a Holocaust denier, an anti-Semite, a racist, and that he lies and he does it deliberately, won't be helped by your going on the stand. We want to keep the focus on the book and on what you wrote. And at some point, rather reluctantly, I had to accept that. I knew people wondered why I didn't go on. I wasn't talking to the press either. And I have a lot of friends who say that the greatest miracle of this whole case was that I kept my mouth shut during this period. But I understood. I understood. It took me a long while, as the movie makes clear. But at some point, I understood I had the best lawyers, and they knew what they were doing. And I had to let them run it as they thought best.
Let's listen to your attorney, Richard Rampton. This is the real Richard Rampton, not the actor from the movie. Here's Richard talking about a key piece of evidence in the case with the BBC. The key evidence was Irving's diaries, which Rampton described as a gold mine in this case. Let's listen.
Because what they showed was, first, that he was an enthusiastic participator in events organized by neo-Nazis and right-wing extremists. But second, which did surprise us perhaps a little more, was that according to what he had written, he was profoundly anti-Semitic, which does rather suggest a motive for his adulation of Hitler.
So, Deborah, spell this out. You've talked about this a little bit, but just this is such a complicated case. Make it clear. If this was a libel case where you had to prove, in a sense, that the Holocaust actually existed, why were these diaries relevant?
The diaries were relevant because they showed intention. They showed intention. In the diaries, we kept finding overt anti-Semitism, including songs he sang that he made up for his daughter, which were both racist and anti-Semitic. We found that he spent time when he came to this country. He would come here. He would vacation very often in Key West. And he had an admirer in New Orleans who would come down to visit him, and that was David Duke. He spoke to far-right-wing extremist groups. I'm not talking conservative. I'm talking far-right-wing, white supremacist, racist groups when he came to this country. So we showed that this man, though on the surface he acted like he was a very respectable writer of historical works, but that he had this other life, which very much infected what he did and what he wrote and what he said. So we were able to show that connection quite strongly.
And because libel cases hinge on the question of veracity, this also spoke to the veracity of your claim that he was an anti-Semite.
That's right. That's right. And again, we also showed, we went in thinking we would prove just that he was an anti-Semite. But as we went through the material, I mean, I have made the case in my original book, the book that caused the suit, that many white supremacists like Holocaust denial because it sort of validates Hitler had very contemptuous feelings towards quote-unquote people of color and black people particularly. And he always wanted to show them as inferior. So Holocaust deniers also like to, you know, connect with the white supremacist movement. So we were proving both. And the diaries really were a gold mine. And I never saw the diaries. I never was even in the same room with the diaries. But the lawyers and the experts went through them and found just damning evidence.
Your judge in this case was a gentleman named Charles Gray. And after the trial ended, he talked with the BBC just to make it clear this is the real Charles Gray, not the portrayal of Charles Gray in the movie Denial that opens up on Friday. The real guy. Let's listen.
I've had my share, I think, of quite large libel actions. None quite so substantial, I think, as the Irving trial. A unique case. One can't imagine that there'll be many other cases, whether in the guise of a libel action or anything else, which will raise the same sort of often horrifying issues as that case did.
So, Deborah, have there been lasting effects in the legal community from your case?
I think so. There have been some effects on libel law in England, or cumulative. My trial was part of a cumulative impact, which now makes it a little harder to sue for libel because it puts such a burden on the defendant. But in terms of history, this I can speak to with much more expertise. It's given the lie to what I call hardcore Holocaust denial. Those people who say, you know, there were no gas chambers, the Germans never intended to kill the Jews. Hitler, as David Irving would say, was the best friend the Jews had. David Irving, by suing me, and I'm so glad you mentioned that and repeated that, and I want to stress that, because there are people who think I sued him, but I don't.
Right.
I don't believe in history in the courtroom. I think they're two separate entities. By suing me, made a mistake, because suddenly lies he'd been saying and statements he'd been saying were now being checked, and people were asking questions. And just because you say, you know, it goes to a contemporary situation, the difference between fact, opinion, and lies. If I said to you, it's my opinion that the earth is flat, you would say, Deborah, that's not an opinion. That's craziness. But it speaks to that. And he went into a courtroom where there was a judge who would determine that what he was saying was based on lies and was falsification of history, which he did deliberately.
Emory University professor Deborah Lipstadt is the inspiration behind the film Denial. That movie chronicles her experience being sued for libel by a Holocaust denier. The film is showing in select theaters, opens on Friday. Deborah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it.